Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in. Everybody say Jesus!
Jesus!
All right, let's get a little energy going here. Welcome to our message titled, What's God's Take on That? And we'll do this message series from time to time where there is no set subject for the week. We just pray that God gives us an idea and words for the week and then ask the question, what's God's take on that? And so that's what we're into this week. The title for today's message is titled Flight Instructions 2022. And the question for us to ponder and unpack today is, what's God's take on our New Year's resolutions for 2022? If you made time to read the newsletter that I sent out for December, I emailed out last week. You would have seen an article, if you read through it, titled, and I quote, Five Bible-Based Christian New Year's Resolutions for 2022, end quote, by Brent Moody. And Brent and his amazing wife, Becca, lived for a long time as missionaries in Korea. They traveled for missions to several countries, and now they live in Suwanee, Georgia, as church planters. And they also work bivocationally with Phoenix Roasters, a missional coffee company. Brent has a podcast titled, is called Kingdom Over Coffee. That's a pretty good podcast title, right? And he's published author of a book titled Say Yes, How God's Dream-Sized Dreams Take Flight. Today's message centers around New Year's resolutions, but it also centers around that article that we talked about, because Brent offers some great, great observations of our current culture and how we as kingdom people should consider kingdom resolutions for 2022 instead of worldly resolutions. And worldly resolutions are just nothing more than idolatry disguised as resolutions. So what can we expect in 2022? As we turn our calendars from December 31st to January 1st, will our problems go away? I mean, that's a fair question. Will COVID-19 go away? Or should we be like an old cartoon character? Some of you are old enough to remember this cartoon character, Tudor Turtle. Do you remember Tudor Turtle?
Yep.
And asked Mr. Wizard to take us back in the past. And there's Tudor Turtle. For some of you remember him, and that's a picture of him on the screen if you're watching online. That's who that is. That's a 1960 cartoon. And Tudor Turtle was a simple reptile who yearned for fantastic adventures. You know, he wanted to be somebody else, someplace else, all the time. He visited the forest home of his friend, Mr. Wizard the Lizard. And wherever he wanted to try a new occupation or live a life of a historical figure, Mr. Wizard would indulge Tudor Turtle by magically transporting him through time and space. Decidedly unqualified for his new position, which he was every single time, Tudor always got back more than he bargained for in his new role. Tudor was over his head, whether he was a lumberjack, a prehistoric person, or a legendary outlaw. After a series of blundering misadventures, Tudor inevitably called on Mr. Wizard to return him to his present form. And if you remember how it goes, Mr. Wizard, Mr. Wizard, I don't want to be a piano player anymore. I'm just having a shot at Dale. We're having a little poking fun today. But you know what I'm saying. And but Mr. Wizard would comply, and he would give this magical chant. And you remember this chant. I know you do. Here's how it went. And I'm quoting, drizzle, drazzle, drizzle, drone. Time for this one to come home. And the story ended with us reminding that Tudor will be, as they say, just what you is, not what you are not. Folks that do this have the happiest lot. End quote. Right? That's so always trying to be whatever he thinks he needs to be. Tired of being a turtle. And it's easy, I think, as we step into the new year, friends, we don't want to be like this. We don't want to be like Tudor Turtle, wishing to become a type of person the world says we should become. Because this is what happens every year. I need to lose 20 pounds. I need to join the gym. I need to get a new car. I need to get a new job. I need to live in a new zip code. I need a new house. I need new clothes. I need all this stuff. All these things, because we watch all these shows that try to shape who we are and who we should be. Instead of let us focus our attention, I think, this year in our resolve to become more like Jesus. Amen. I mean, that's really the end of the day. That's our goal. And if I think if we're honest, it's been quite a year between COVID lockdowns, right? Racial unrest, political tension, and natural disasters. We've seen all this on a heavy front all around the world. Many take the new year to reflect and to make resolutions for the future, which I know you do, I do as well. Gym memberships and diet plans are always up. As a late John Madden would say, boom, this time of year, right? They just boom, they take off this time of year. And so what about you? And what are some of your Christian New Year resolutions for 2022? And I put the word Christian in there for a reason. Not worldly resolutions, but what are your some of your kingdom resolutions? So everybody say resolution.
Resolution.
And how would you define that? If you were going to, somebody asked you, what is a resolution? I mean, a dictionary form would say it's a firm decision to do or not to do something. That's what it means. It's a firm decision. I mean, I'm solid. I'm committed. Resolutions, connotations, and intention, determination, aspiration. That's what it means. It is an act of will, and it's based on a moral or personal belief. So deep down, I want to do what I believe at the end of the day. If I believe it's going to make a difference in my life, I'm going to commit to it. We can't enact our will behind something that we don't believe really matters. Amen? We just can't. We might try for a week or a month. This is why resolutions fall off. Because we get discouraged and we just don't believe it's possible. We resolve to eat better because we believe it's good for us. Right? The same with joining a gym or hiring a personal trainer. We believe that this will make a difference in how our life turns out. And so we do these things. And there's a history of making resolutions. And this history goes back 4,000 years. Really, it's 4,000 years old. It goes all the way back to Babylon. The Romans believed that January was a time to consider the previous year and make changes. Let's look at the good, let's look at the bad, let's look at the ugly, and what do we need to do different in the coming year? The early church adopted a spiritual practice of reflection on past mistakes and resolving to do better. John Wesley himself began a covenant renewal service, a night watch service is what he actually called it, and was complete with prayer and scripture and teaching on New Year's, serving as an alternative to all the drunken festivities that were out there. Many evangelical churches do similar things today. So there was a lot of churches. COVID restricted a lot of that. But the question that we want to ask yourself is, what does the Bible say about New Year's resolutions? What does the Bible say about it? The Bible doesn't have specific instructions about New Year's resolutions. Christians have their perspectives, of course, and convictions on the matter. Many participate in some form or another of this, but Scripture does not include essential themes. It says, here you go. This is what you need to do. It doesn't frame it in that box. We, you know, there's a lot of things we can do, though. Repentance is another one. That's a great resolution. Repent is preached throughout the Bible. We see it in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repentance is a type of resolution in itself, a change in the direction and life based on belief, a rearrangement of our will to follow God in a personal relationship, a commitment to live a Jesus-centered life. That's really what we're called to do. We repent of our old existence to come to Christ. But the Bible talks about repentance of specific deeds as well. And we see that in 2 Samuel 24:10. The Bible is also full of imperative statements, what we call commands. Rejoice in the Lord always. We see that in Philippians 4:4. Pray without ceasing. There's one you should all know well. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Go and make disciples, the great commission of the church and us as kingdom people. Matthew 28:16 through 20. These all require intentional actions. These all require us to be committed. We are told to examine our lives in faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Work out our salvation, you know, through sanctifying grace, you know, that we are to become holy. Philippians 2:12. We can't do that without intent, belief, or making a firm decision to do so. So either you're going to make a decision to live a Jesus-centered life, or you're not. I mean, and if you're really committed, then your actions are going to validate that there's going to be fruits of your labor as a result of it. Resolutions on that level, or I should say resolutions on that level, are both biblical by far, but they're also essential. And so these are things I think we can build on. These are things that we can put our arms around and really get into. So what are some of the Bible-based New Year resolutions for this coming year with all this in mind that we're talking about this morning? What are some things? Most New Year resolutions for Christians, and for most people, but for Christians for sure, fall into one or both categories. A sin, right, that they wish they would stop. Or you can frame it this way, a hurt, a habit, a hang-up that keeps plaguing them over and over, just like a vicious cycle. I keep doing this stuff. Or something related to spiritual discipline. So they want to be more into meditation or devotion or something to grow their spiritual life. They want to do something. But it's usually one of those two categories or both. These are good, especially when based on leading to a Jesus-centered life. But what about our current time in 2021? We just ended in the context of 2021. What has God up to in our lives looking backwards? What is going on? What is God saying to us from heaven based on the hardships and trials of this past year? What have we learned? And this is what I think we need to reflect on. And this is a very personal thing. What have you learned out of these last, especially these last 2 years, 2020 and 2021? And now we're going into another year of a pandemic. What have you learned from all this? And what is that? How should that shape your mind as you move forward? So here's five resolutions for people pursuing Jesus-centered lives for 2022. So our first one, stay connected with the local faith community. Between lockdowns and uncertainty and chaos, we've seen the power remaining in the community with God's family. So we found power staying together, whether it's through virtual technology, on Zoom platforms, through text threads, through private Facebook groups, by coming to church. But there's a famous Gallup poll that was conducted at the end of December 2020, and it revealed that American citizens reported on their mental health was at an all-time low. This is the end of 2020. And there's been a sharp increase in anxiety and depression since then. And every group, except one, and I'll let you guess what that group is. It's in religious circles, right? The only group of people who reported a positive increase in their mental health attended regular spiritual gatherings, or spiritual gatherings. Could be 12-step groups or whatever, but they were spiritually centered lives. They're trying to be around spiritually centered people. As a pastor who's connected with a lot of people, I've seen this pattern confirmed in the world of people who stay intentional with the family of God. So I've watched over the last year and a half I've been here. I can see the ones that are thriving, who are happy, who are joyous and free because they're connected. And I can see the ones that are out on the margins and they're struggling. They feel all alone or they feel oppressed in some way. And so you can just see it, especially from my vantage point. And that's not the only news, though. At the same time, people have stopped, unfortunately, attending church in person or even online. It's a massive decline, friends. This is what this pandemic's done over the last 2 years. And so our world's in a desperate way. And it shouldn't surprise us that participating in a faith community has benefits. And Scripture tells us that it does. It says that when two or more are gathered in His name, that Jesus is with us. So Matthew 18:20, this is why we need to be together. Big time. Hebrews instructs us to encourage one another daily, even more so as time goes on. And we read this in Hebrews 3, verse 13, which is 2,000 years ago. I mean, this information is being given to us, that this is what we need to be doing. This is still relevant today as it's ever been. The writer of Hebrews continues to say we should not forsake our assembly to protect us from our heart or our unbelief. We need each other. I need you as much as you need me. I mean, that's the mindset of all of us. Also, not surprisingly, we have a spiritual enemy called the devil, Satan himself, who seeks to keep us from meeting together and enjoying the benefits and the fruits of being together. And this is one of the primary things that Satan does, is divide us, but also isolate us and get us alone. And it's called the herd philosophy. If I get you alone, then I can devour you. And it doesn't have to be, we don't have to be in large groups or a church building. It can be in homes or a park. It can be on Zoom. But are we staying connected spiritually? But one thing we need to do is resolve to continue meeting together and encouraging one another in faith. Amen. That's number one. Number two, remain flexible and open to what God is doing. We get stressed when plans change. Amen. When things don't go the way we think, we get all sideways. And many of our plans went out the window last year. We have many teachers in our kingdom family. I mean, a lot, especially at Hillsboro. A lot of those people. And schools have struggled to navigate COVID-19 big time. Everything has. Hospitals, first responders, but schools, teachers, parents, students. They never sure really from 1 week to the next if they're going to have school or they're not going to be on school. If we're going to be half and half, am I going to be on virtual? And if I am, how am I going to deal with that because I work full time? And what is that all going to mean? And this is what parents have struggled with all year long. This variable climate causes a lot of uncertainty and definitely a lot of anxiety. And this challenge doesn't mix well when you're talking about administrators, teachers, parents, and kids who are all over the place with varying views and positions on how to deal with this stuff. And so you got this whole community of people that are just clashing each other. And this is the world that we find ourselves in. For my family especially, and I know yours too, there was many vacations that were canceled. trips that didn't go up. Susie and I were supposed to go on a Southwestern trip last year to go to the Grand Canyon and places she's never been before. But that all got canceled because of COVID. So our plans get flipped upside down all the time. People lost jobs, started working from home, are trying to get their kids acclimated to virtual school. And how do you do that? You know, and how do you get people to stay focused when you're doing that? But among all that chaos, what we never can lose sight of is that God is among the chaos, right? God is still with us. We saw people respond with great creativity. We learned new things, found new ways to accomplish goals, sometimes better ways than we ever would have otherwise, right? And so technology has been big. For those who have joined us on Zoom, if you haven't done that yet, I encourage you to do it on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 8 o'clock. Just jump on the elephants. It's awesome. You know, it's led by somebody different every week, and it's just half hour of somebody sharing a devotion, and we just share community. Hey, what's going on? Who do we need to pray for? What's going on in your life? We have some laughs, we have some tears, whatever. Never know what it's going to be. But I encourage you to do stuff like that, to stay connected with your family, or start a group. If those times don't work for you, start another one. But stay connected. I mean, somehow, some way. But whatever you do, make your plans loosely, knowing that they weren't promised, you know, they were not promised perfect adherence to these goals. We plan these things, but whatever happens, we just got to know that God is at work and we'll use it for His good and for His glory. That's what Romans 8:28 reminds us over and over again. And it's in this that we can see the plot twist as opportunities. All right? So this chaos, we can see it as an opportunity. My mom used to say it all the time. Crisis in Chinese means opportunity. And I always seem to have a lot of crisis in my life. I don't know about you. I always had a crisis my mom was trying to help me out of. Number three. Slow down and take time to rest. Our American culture is fast-paced, filled with constant entertainment and activity. But it is in God's heart that we take time to rest. It's not when we are running around a million miles an hour, you know, a million miles a minute, trying to do all these things, that we understand God when we're running full blast. But it's when we slow down and we're still. Remember Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And so we need to slow down, myself included. One of my goals is to sleep for 8 hours, or at least rest for 8 hours. And so I have to go to bed earlier. And so at 9 o'clock, I'm like this. Wow, it's going to be really hard to go to sleep without a clock. I can't sleep, my eyes are wide awake. You know, I'm looking at the alarm clock. If I go to bed right now, I get 8 hours of sleep. And then about 3 hours later, if I go to bed right now, I get about 6 hours sleep. And then a few hours later, if I go to bed right now, I'm going to be late. You know, that's what happens. So recall, you know, lockdown, social distancing has forced many of us to be still and invest in relationships in our own home and with God, where before we hid behind the frantic activity, right? And so there's been some good that's came out of this. Hopefully it's forced you to slow down a little bit and be more intentional with your time. Take the times of solitude, as being in small groups, as opportunities to invest in relationships that are priorities. First and alone with God. Then the immediate family and close friends. 2020 showed us that weren't able to do, but it also showed us what we can do. Resting includes trusting that it isn't all up to us. And so I think that's where we can have peace as a kingdom community. I mean, we'd love to have the church, you know, trying to figure out more chairs and places to go. But we'd love to have that problem. And I trust that we'll get to that problem. But in the meantime, we just have to trust that God's in control. We're just doing our best in everything we can do. We rely on God, who is living and active and able to do anything. And we can find our rest in that, regardless of what's going on in our present circumstances, as a kingdom community, but also as individuals. Number four, speak the life of the gospel into the chaos of the world. This is your opportunity to shine, friends, yours and mine. More than ever in any other generation, amid great uncertainty and fear, the world is searching for something that's genuine, secure, loving, and good. And you've seen it. You've seen this through the political flavor. You've seen this with the Bernie Sanders folks, the young youth that were behind this Bernie Sanders movement. What are they looking for more in? They want to do something that means something. They want to be involved in something that's going to make a difference in life. It's really what they're saying. It's really what they're looking for. They want to be connected to something in this younger generation. You know that. And so how do you tap into that as a kingdom society? How do you pull those people in and show them that, you know, living a Jesus-centered life is where it's at. It's where it can make a difference. And so we have a chance to do that. There's no better solution than Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Matthew 4:17 tells us that. Each of us influences our relationships, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's coworkers, social media, whether it's small or large, it doesn't matter. You're an example, good or bad, of the kingdom of God. You're a link in the chain. You're either a strong link or you're a weak link. And that's your own personal inventory. But you may be the only example of the kingdom of God. You may be the only example of the Jesus-centered life that anybody ever sees. You may be the only example of a Bible, of the scripture, of what it means to follow Jesus that anybody ever sees. And so that's a great opportunity, but it's also a huge responsibility. We're guardians of the kingdom. That's you and I. We're given a torch and we're supposed to carry it bright and share the good news with as many people as we can. So be a good steward of that influence by speaking the hope and life of the gospel into those relationships. 1 Peter 4:11 reminds us of that. This is our calling. Don't get dragged down into the arguments that don't matter, which 2 Timothy 2:23 reminds us. And speak the truth in love, which is really the most important. Ephesians 4:15. Don't beat people to death with the truth. You know, love them with the truth. Encourage others and lift their eyes to God. 1 Corinthians 8:1. That's what we need to hear. That's what they need to hear. That is the good news. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be. And lastly, number 5 is love your neighbors. Several friends have told me that during this chaotic time that we're in, they've actually met their neighbors for the first time. And because they were intentional for the first time during this lockdown, during this total chaos, they reached out to the neighbors to see how they were doing because it's a chaotic time. And what did they need? You know, what did they find? And all these people reported that they were open to a relationship. That these neighbors were open, that they appreciated somebody checking on them. They appreciated the kindness, the love extended to them. It's just our opportunity to be kind. And it's a great opportunity for us to do that during this time. You know, as a pastor, I saw a lot of churches come together more than ever. I'm part of an international group, really it's called Jesus Collective, where I meet on a regular basis with pastors all around the world on a virtual technology platform. We worship together, we pray together, we learn from each other. It's powerful. But pastors and leaders have crossed racial denominational lines to pool resources together to get food for the hungry, homes for the homeless, support for the kids and families in education, and so on and so on. And they did so, friends, without any regard for their own growth of their own church. These leaders were inspired and they gathered together to bring relief to those in the community. And this is what we need to be focused on more than ever. Find ways to reach your neighbors. That's what I encourage you to do. That should be one of your goals in 2020 or 2022. Be intentional about participating and bringing relief to those in your own community. Hebrews 10:24 reminds us of that. That is the heart of the God and the part of preaching the gospel, which we're reminded with Matthew 5:16. As we prepare to take off on this flight into 2022, friends, I encourage you to make a firm commitment to live a Jesus-centered life like never before. I just really make it encourage you to come into that. Come all the way in, sit all the way down and stay, which is always the hardest part is to stay. We see that at Christmas and Easter every time. You have a lot of people who come, but they don't stay. You know, and that's the hardest part is to stay. I really encourage you to do that. Join a small group. Join a life group. Whether it's virtual or it's in your home, start one. If you need help with that, get with me. We'll put it together. But do that. Be intentional about that. That's where you're really going to grow in your faith. It's great to come here on Sunday. It's great to have great teachings and praise and worship. But the real growth comes in these personal relationships and these intimacy in these small groups. Again, if you need help, just ask. Excuse me. Technology, embrace it. It's not going away. We're not going backwards, friends. We're not going back to typewriters and pencils and telegraphs and all that stuff. Technology is here to stay. So as it evolves, we have to evolve as a kingdom community. And we've done that in the year and a half I've been here. You know, we're live streaming right now. But we also have apps and utilize these tools. And on those apps, you can create groups. And in those groups, you can stay connected. I try to get something about Jesus in your life every day, whether it's in a private Facebook group or whether it's through the app or whether it's a text thread or whatever it is. I'm out there firing Jesus at you every day, hoping that it makes a difference in how your life turns out. That's what we're called to do. I pray that you ask God to help you divorce yourself from the world system and for the desire to live like Jesus deeper than you ever have before in 2022. If you commit to this flight plan, then I encourage you to get ready for the new life that awaits you, because it's going to be awesome. It will be. It is be better than anything you can plan. So turn to your neighbor with some enthusiasm and say, we're going to rock it in 2022. Come on. All right. There we go. Let's center ourselves real quick. Let's center ourselves. And let me just pray for us as we go into this. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the possibility to turn the calendar to a new year. And just like last year, we face a challenge with this pandemic, and it affects every one of us somehow, some way. So Lord, renew our minds. Help us to have a new attitude. Help us to really rock it in 2022. Be committed to that. Committed to the kingdom living, to this Jesus-centered life. Help us commit to that bigger and better than we ever had before. We know it's possible with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the right frame of mind. So we pray for all that. We pray for everything. We pray for the world, Lord. We pray that your will shines in this world, and we can be a small part of that illumination by the torch you've handed us. So help us to do that bigger than better than we can even think it's possible. And we trust that through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. All right, friends, it's time for our kingdom carryout. Don't let the world dictate who you are to become. Let Jesus. Amen. Make your resolutions our Jesus-centered resolutions. Amen. We want to be right on the right side of that. Stay connected with your kingdom community this 2022. Remain flexible and open to what God is doing in the world. Slow down and take time to rest. Speak the life of the gospel into the chaos in the world. And lastly, love your neighbors.
Amen.
Now, friends, in your lesson plan, if you have your lesson plan, take time to pull it out right now. You will need it for this part. On the flip side of that is your flight instructions for 2022. This is our sending forth. This is our benediction. So you're all going to have those. Do you have one, Monica? Come on, right here, sister. There you go. There's another one. So these are our flight instructions. You can put this in your Bible. You can put it on the refrigerator. I hope you don't forget it this year. I want you to use your imaginations. Pretend you were on this flight. You just got in. You sat down. You don't even give you peanuts no more. You got some pretzels and some coffee. And they tell you to buckle your seatbelts. Make sure you're ready to go. Tray tables up. And this is your flight instructions. I'm going to give it to you like the pilot would be calling it over the intercom. Here we go. Are you ready? Here we go. Good morning and welcome to Flight 2022. We are prepared to take off into the new year. Please make sure your positive attitude and gratitude are secured and locked in the upright position. All self-destructive devices, pity, anger, selfishness, pride, and resentment should be turned off at this time. All negativity, hurt, and discouragement should be put away. Should you lose your positive attitude under the pressure during this flight, reach up and pull down a prayer. Prayers will automatically be activated by faith. Once your faith is activated, you can assist other passengers who are of little faith. There will be no baggage allowed on this flight. God, our captain, has declared us for takeoff. Destination, greatness. Wishing you a new year filled with new hope, new joy, and new beginnings. Stay blessed and welcome to 2022.
Amen.
Amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hiltran United. Hiltran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hiltran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app. Or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hiltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.